means, can live and function in the presence of the Lord. And I think when we recognize that God's realm is a realm of spirit, we spend a lot of time trying to develop a faith to connect with God. The faith that we develop out of our own soul, out of our own strength, oh, it goes back to the Tower of Babel. We can build and build and build and have great religious zeal and fervor, but it ends up in confusion and misunderstanding. No matter how much effort we put into it, faith that originates from ourself does not bridge the gap between the human experience and the God of spirit. And I think we've all known the frustration of our own striving. We mean well, we want God, and we get frustrated. Why isn't God more real? Well, the faith that does work is a part of that incorruptible seed, that life of Christ, that living word of the Spirit. It's a faith that becomes real to us by His grace and His love to us. It's not only, it is a response from our heart to Him, but more than just how we respond, it is an actual realm or an atmosphere that we learn to live in. It becomes a bridge between the human and the divine. And it's the realm where our flesh doesn't get in the way of who we are in Him. And we don't have to go through all that religious striving. There's actually a very deep rest in the realm of His faith. In that realm, God moves. He moves through us. It's a faith to do the will of God in that realm. More importantly, it's a faith to become what God wants us to become. In that atmosphere of His faith, we're able to change and be transformed. The veils are able to be lifted from our mind, and we're able to come into the awareness of what's true, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So what I feel this morning is, let's be more open, or just be aware that it's not what we generate from ourselves that's going to make a difference. Father, we need that seed of faith that is You. You've put it within us. We all have it. We believe for that seed to open up, become the climate, the atmosphere, the air that we breathe, the place that we live and abide. Habakkuk says, "The just shall live by his faith." Truly, the faith of the Son of God is where we have life. That's where the spiritual life flows from. More and more, we're going to see with the people of God less religious fervor and more of the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit just exploding forth from the body of Christ. There's going to be an absolute faith in the Word of God and what He has said. We will not be in bondage to our senses, to the limitations of our soul, of our human thinking, our human emotions. An absolute faith in the Word of Spirit. But in that faith is going to be an absolute rest, because it is His faith. It's a realm we've learned to live in. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, verse 22. It says, "Behold, a Canaanite woman came out from that region and began to cry out, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed.' But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, 'Send her away. She is shouting out after us.' He answered and said, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' He answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' But she said, 'Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you have wished.' And her daughter was healed at once." If I didn't know better, I would say that Jesus was having a bad day by the way he was treating this woman. I mean, just look at the language that's being used. She was a Canaanite. You've got to remember that this whole dispensation of grace for the Gentiles, that reality came out of what? After Pentecost. Remember, that was discovered in the book of Acts, and Jesus is saying, well, I was sent to Israel. Here, this woman has bothered me for healing. Well, you can see that she had a faith that reached beyond the day she was living in, a faith that the Lord could not deny. And it may seem like he's being kind of cruel here to her, but I don't think that was it at all. I think that he was actually becoming real to her. And there was a process by which her faith was allowing her to have the walls melt down where the Lord could be real. The healing was going to happen. But it was more than just her persistence. The faith that she had to have was a faith that allowed her to humble herself and still stay focused on the Lord. Now, most of the time when we read this, we see the obvious lesson. If we're going to believe God for something, we're going to keep on believing even when there's resistance. But let's look at this resistance. I think we go through this. I think it's a very disruptive thing to our lives, and often we don't recognize that it's the Lord. Revelation 3 talks about the Lord knocking at the door. And often when I think of that example, I think of, you know, it's like we're in our house, and we have all kinds of noises going on, the stereo, the TV, people talking, and that knock will come, and all of a sudden you'll realize, hush, got to make everything quiet. I got to get rid of all those external voices, because that still small voice of the Spirit is knocking on my door. The Lord wants to commune with me. Often that's how it happens. We kind of just, you have to, what are we talking about? Waiting on the Lord. Filtering out all the other voices so that we can hear what he's speaking. But sometimes the knock is very loud and disruptive. It's not a gentle rapping. It's a pounding at the door. God is trying to get our attention, and he's disrupting our life to get our attention. That's what was happening to this Canaanite woman. She calls out to him. She has faith that Jesus can heal her daughter. Her faith is not just that it's a potential that he might do it, but it's a faith that he will do it. First, what does he do? He ignores her. Now, put ourselves into this place where basically as people, as human creatures, need-based. We're needy, right? We need things from the Lord. Come to the Lord, we say, Lord, I want you to heal. And it's not even for herself, it's for her daughter. Nothing. Jesus ignores her. Have you ever felt ignored when you're knocking on the door and asking the Lord for things? Doesn't that stir up some insecurities and fears? God, are you there? Do you really care about me? I hear about all these other people that get answers, but here I am praying, and it feels like you're not paying attention to me. That's very difficult for our human ego to accept, isn't it? Now, at that point, his faith wants to bring down a veil or a wall of fear in our life. Many people, when they feel the Lord's not paying attention, get angry, get bitter, get upset with God, decide to divert themselves doing other things. Well, this isn't working out. I'll just rush off and do something else, either going into the world, or they can plow all their energy and attention into being religious and just very dutiful, trying to avoid that hard question. God, I feel like you're not paying attention to me. Do you care? Next, she keeps after it. You see, our faith can give up at this point, but when it's his faith we're living in, instead of giving up, we humble ourselves. Lord, I've got this fear that you're not paying attention to me. But his faith causes you to continue to believe in him. And what happens? That fear begins to melt down. You see, we protect our soul with a lot of veils or walls. There's a reason for that. We've been injured. There's a reason why in this world you don't want to walk around with no walls up. But when it comes to the Lord knocking at the door of your heart and God wanting access, that's where the wall is no longer appropriate. And this is where it becomes disruptive, when he begins to bang on the door saying, I want those walls down. I want to heal you. And it's his faith, again, that's how we are transformed. That's how we travel through this process. Having these fears surface, God, do you care? And instead of running away from it, We face it. And we humble ourselves. Then he turns and he talks to her. He goes, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Again, what? Talk about drawing out someone's insecurities. Yes, lady, I can heal you, but I'm not here for you. I'm here for somebody else. Do we ever go through that? We believe in the God that answers prayer and heals and blesses, but is it really for me, or am I worthy of it? Is it for someone else? Again, the Lord is pounding down or knocking on the walls this woman has and saying, you can leave now because you're offended, or you can humble yourself and stay with me. Next thing he says, she's saying, Lord, help me. And he's saying, this bread, it's not good to throw it to the dogs. This is, to me, like the ultimate insult. Hey, lady, you're not even good enough for this. You're not good enough for the healing. You're not worthy. Again, a great fear we have is, are we worthy? And of course, we quote the scripture where we are worthy because of what Jesus Christ did. That's fine. We've got the theory down pat. But I know in the soul, we all have those questions. We wonder. You see, the healing to those fears does not come by building up your doctrine about what Jesus did or memorizing the Bible. The healing comes because the wall comes down in the soul. And when we're challenged by God, when the Lord is knocking on our door and it's disruptive, instead of running away, we humble ourselves and confront that fear where the Lord can bring healing. She goes through this whole process. She says, yeah, Lord, here you are telling me I'm not worthy, but I'm certainly worthy of crumbs from the table. This is one humble woman. All the time, her faith is focused on, Jesus, I know you can do this for me. I'm not going to be dissuaded. I feel humiliated. I choose to humble myself, but my faith is still in who you are. And Jesus looked at her after all this and said, your faith is great. What is great faith? Is that something because we have a lot of soul energy and a lot of self-discipline and we can, you know, get our minds just centered on certain things and stay positively focused, or we can pray those loud, strong prayers? No, great faith is when you are humbled and you still believe. When the walls come down and you're still looking at Jesus saying, my faith's in you. See, that's his faith. That's great faith. It's faith that's mixed with humility. And in the process of going through this like this woman, you don't just come away with a healing for someone else or for a need. You come away with a deeper revelation of the Lord to your own life. You can't go through this process and not be changed. And I think we live in this. I think we live with the soul asking these questions. Do you care? Am I worthy? Not realizing that the Lord is knocking at the door of our own hearts saying, will you take your walls down? Will you humble yourself so that I can heal you and I can be real to you? It's a faith that perseveres, but it's also a faith that's willing to be humble so that the false ego can be exposed to the light of Christ and be healed. So instead of being governed by all those fears that we have on a soul level and that ego remaining strong, the fears are melted down, the Lord becomes real, and the place of that false ego is what? His heart, his life, our true identity. The Israelites, when they went into the promised land, or before they went in, do you remember the challenge to them? You read Hebrews 3 and 4, the challenge was to believe. And it says they didn't enter into Canaan because of unbelief. They didn't enter into his rest because of unbelief. There was a transition point for them. And it wasn't just over the land of promise. We know what happened. They came out with a slave mentality. They didn't change internally, so they came to a land of promise, and it wasn't a part of their internal being. His word had no place within them. So they saw the giant, said, can't do it. Unbelief. But you know, there was a rest that they were to enter into before they ever got to Canaan. Now, When we come to the land of promise and the word of God is fulfilled, there's a rest in that too. When we believe the word of God, there's a state of rest. But I'm talking about when the Lord spoke, bring my people to me. I want them to come up my mountain. They're a kingdom of priests. They're my people. God wanted something close and personal with his people. They didn't want that. You see, that was to be the rest that they were to enter into. There was to be a faith in coming to him where they could be changed and transformed. Then they would have been ready for the land of promise. And I think this is what the faith's all about. The call is, we tend to be need-based in our approach to God, aren't we? And being human means we have a lot of needs. So we're kind of governed by, God, I know you'll do these things for me. But I think going through the process that this woman went through, God is trying to change us. It's not that he's not going to answer our prayers, but he wants us to move from that basis of relating to him of what you can do for me because I have so many needs to the place he wanted to bring the Israelites where we recognize that we are his people, that we're to be in a living, close relationship with him. Where the response of our life first is one of worship and thankfulness before coming before him and saying, Lord, I need this, I need that. His faith is a process within us, is meant to change us. From that soulish bondage of, I have so many needs, God, you got to do this for me, you got to do that for me, to bring us to a place where we recognize the relationship we have with him through Jesus Christ. And our response is, God, I love you. You are enough. Being in relationship with you is enough. That's the response of a priest. I'm here to be in your presence, to bless you, to worship you. That is a point of freedom, a place of absolute freedom. We're not dominated by the problems of our human experience. The soul is not in control. That's a place where our spirit is in control. It's one with the Lord, and we realize we're freed from the bondages of the human experience. We're free to just enjoy the presence of the Lord and be in relationship with him. What if God didn't make promises through the Bible? What if there were no scriptures about ask and you shall receive? What if as human beings, he simply said, I love you. And we were given the choice to love him back or not love him back. Now, let me state clearly that the word is full of promises that God intends to keep. He intends to bless you. But what I want to get at is, what is our motivation when we come before him? Is God enough for us? Or do we have to have a God that continues to do the things we want him to do for us? You see, if we're in an atmosphere where we will love you, God, as long as you continue to bless us and answer our prayers, we're still governed, and by the soul, we're in bondage to human needs. We're not free. But let's let the faith take us from that point. And again, it's that process of humility that Canaanite woman went through, to a place in the spirit where we can look and say, God, being with you is enough. I'm glad you're going to add all these blessings, but that's not why I'm here. That's not why I'm in your presence. See, this whole question gets to our motivation. Is loving God enough for us? But what about all these problems I have? What about this? What about that? That's part of the bondage. The freedom is, that's not where I live. I'm not a soulish being trying to be spiritual. I am a spiritual being that's been housed with this soul and body, and I don't have to be in bondage to it. The faith of the Son of God has created a place of abiding in the presence of the Lord where I can live, where I can be aware, and where I can dwell. And in that place, loving God is enough. There doesn't have to be anything else added to it. Faith is a divine energy within our life, moving us from the soulish, that realm where we tend to be selfish, self-centered, more into that spiritual plane where we recognize our calling as worshipers and priests before God, where we can be free enough to just be thankful for who He is and His love for us. And in that attitude, truly be happy and enjoy the blessings of God to the fullest. That's what his faith does. I think the call is still there, just like with the Israelites. You know, they wanted their own land, they wanted this, they wanted that, and God said, I understand why you want all these things, but do you want me? Do you want to come up the mountain and get to know me? Do you want this to be close and personal, or is it going to be just a distance? And I think a lot of times, if our whole relationship to God is need-based, we keep a distance from him. God, I want you out here, and here are my needs, and I'll be faithful to pray every day for things I want. But there's that distance. But when you identify with being a worshiper, you let the faith, again, just humble your heart, that process of humility, and bring you to that place of spirit where you're a worshiper, there's not that distance. There's not a separation between you and God because of the things you need. But in that state of worship, you recognize that there's an intimate relationship that's meant to be experienced between you and the Father. That's what Jesus was all about when he came. Faith will lead us into intimacy with the Lord, closeness, something that is very living. Amen.